Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
I'm going to ask you to read it out loud together with me, Psalm 68, once you're there, verse number 19, and you probably know this, have heard it before, maybe haven't memorized, but let's meditate on it tonight. Psalm 68, verse 19, are you there? Sure, let's read together. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah, Selah. I'll read on. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies and his hairy scalp of such, and one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, in thy tongue, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregation, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their councils, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. And he goes on to speak of the strength that God gives as a gift. But we want to particularly notice that verse, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Father, bless our time in your word. Bless the studies across the building. We pray that your word would be exalted in our hearts, that we would not live our lives by our own reality, but that we would adjust our lives to your word, which is true reality. It's truth. So we accept that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. So there was a pastor in Chicago years ago that decided he was going to have a march, and it was going to be open to all unbelievers, that this march would happen, and it would happen in honor of God. And so on the day of the march, that this parade that was going to take place, he had publicized it, and on this day he got there to the start of it, and he and 214 policemen that were assigned to the activity were the only ones that showed up for the march. And he said he felt a little bit like Noah, just kind of being out there on his own. You know, the world's not tripping over itself to honor or lift up God, right? All around us, they're not concerned. There's no fear of God in their eyes. And even sadly, among sometimes believers, there's not an urgency to bless God, to highlight God, to praise and promote God in the public sphere. There seems to be a backpedaling among many believers, an acquiescing to the culture that is around us. Yet David writes this psalm to God's people, and he says, I want you to bless the name of the Lord. This psalm was written and given to a musician to lead God's people in worship. If you notice, as we read down through there, it talked about the different people that were stationed, and the musicians and the different leaders, the princes. They were positioned in the worship. And David's saying, hey, let's all come together and let's do this. Let's bless the name of the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. And so David is encouraging God's people, you take the lead. You make sure that you are blessing the name of the Lord in a society that doesn't. In the midst of a nation that is untoward, it's against God, you make sure that you're leading the way and blessing the Lord. So right here in the middle of our week, let's be reminded that we need to bless the Lord. That we need to bless the Lord as we go in and about our activities tomorrow. That we need to be focused on blessing Him for His benefits, and not the least of which is the benefit of salvation. Now think about that. We'll get to that in a moment, but the benefit of salvation, and it's amazing how this particular key verse in this chapter is given, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, and oh yeah, salvation too. like that is the bedrock. That's the monumental benefit that He has given to us. And so let's learn about this tonight. Notice, first of all, the praise that we are to give to the Lord, His praise that He deserves. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the one who is in control of all things. Bless the one who has the mastery over all things, who is sovereign, who is king. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. We are to bless the Lord. The idea of bless is to speak of with excellent words. To speak of with words of excellence. The idea to exalt Him, to lift Him up, to say wonderful things about Him. So God's people, Israel, the children of Israel, were being called together. Let's get all on the same page. Let's sing this together. By the way, when we sing together, it's not just because, well, that's just what they do in churches. It is a way of together affirming truths about our God. And there's a real need for us to understand the importance of vocalizing together. Even, why don't you turn over to Psalm chapter 40 really quick, and I'll show you something to underscore the importance of singing together. And they would be singing this together, bless the Lord. And it would be, I forget the musical term, but it would be a little bit of one, the leader would say one part of the verse and the congregation would say the other. So the leader would say, bless the Lord. And the congregation, who daily loads us with benefits. And so there was a singing that happened here. But notice in Psalm chapter 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. That's a beautiful picture of salvation. We were trying everything. I'm preparing for Sunday's message, the gospel message, and thinking about the lady in Mark chapter number 5 who had tried everything. She'd spent all of her money, and there's still no answer, right? The miry clay just continually sinking down. And it says in verse number 3, after He's established our goings, and He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear. Let's read the last phrase together. And shall trust in the Lord. Do you know that your song in here is a powerful testimony to the lost that gather with us? It's a powerful testimony when you're singing out in the community and you have a song in your heart. Many shall see it in fear and put their trust in the Lord. So remember, David's asking them to sing all this, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Now the world's talking about bless, you know, bless their different gods, blessing anger, blessing drunkenness, immorality with their music. But we are to bless the Lord. We're to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. The idea of exalting, the word exalt comes up in Scripture. The word extol comes up in Scripture. Psalm 8 and verse number 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent. Excellent is thy name, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Psalm 30 and verse 1, I will extol thee, I will lift you up. Remember, blessing here is the idea of praising Him or speaking of Him with excellent words. The psalmist says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? You remember how it went with him? In Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 30, he goes, look at Babylon, all this that I have built. and all the gardens and all the riches and all the blessings of this place. Look what I've done. I built houses and a kingdom by my might and my power and for my honor and my majesty. He was full of himself. Like a lot of politicians today, he's full of himself. Right? After God got done with him, it changed. Verse number 37, I love this. It says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven." He went from speaking excellent things about himself to speaking excellent things about the Lord God, Daniel's God. That's what we need. By the way, that's not going to happen just by us convincing them. That only happens when God changes their heart. We understand that Jesus is the only one that can change a heart. Now, the world doesn't speak excellent things about God. Even this week, just hearing more and more of just kind of the evolution away from God, the Bible says that children are an heritage of the Lord, right? They're a blessing from God. Our world is now calling, this is becoming something that is being heard in the halls of our capital. I have another preacher that has relayed this, that spends time around elected officials, hearing them refer to pregnancy as a disease. And so if pregnancy is a disease and what's inside of you is something that is a sickness, then aborting it is no problem. We live in a world that is not extolling the words of God, and it's going so fast. So that's the world. But David was concerned with God's people. David was concerned that God's people would bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Exalt him with excellent words. And those folks need to hear us blessing the Lord. They need to hear us not ashamed to bless the Lord. We cannot back down. We must bless the Lord in their presence. So what kind of words do we say about God? Here's a little bit of a thought experiment or just a little bit of a project for us tonight. What kind of words do we say about our God? I'm talking about us, not the world, us, directly or indirectly, that are not excellent. So I gave you some lines there, but I'd like us to talk about that tonight. Because as believers, sometimes we don't bring excellent words. Now, I'm going to give us a little bit of an example. How about words of doubt? And I'm going to ask you to help out with some other ideas. Words of doubt. You know, I've heard and even sometimes have felt, I don't know that I would say, right? Sometimes we don't say things that we're actually thinking. It's not going to help to pray about this one. Doubt about our God. Maybe not directly, oh, God isn't interested, but it's not going to help to pray about this one. Or by inaction. Words of doubt. What are some of the things that we say about our God, directly or indirectly, that are not excellent, that don't extol him and his power? I think you had your hand. An irreverence, saying it lightly.
And pray without ceasing. When for many, many, many years we pray for our lost loved ones, our family, and we just wonder why, when, how could that be? But the Lord saved us.
Amen. Yeah, I wrote that down. Words of blame. We do it a lot when we get ourselves into a mess and we're facing the consequences of our own decisions, but blame God for not blessing us. What else?
Self-justification. I think I should do this. God don't care. Kind of mentality.
Yeah. Wow. God can't. Dictating to God? Telling him what to do? You should do that? Not you. You know, not my will, but thine be done. Yeah. God gets blamed for some things that he does not deserve to be blamed for. Yeah. Yes.
Going back to blaming you for someone saying, well, God thought that I'm this way. If he only would have given me this or done this for me, I wouldn't have turned out this way. So that's just what I'm drained.
Yeah. Well, and even beyond that, this is just the way I am, some character trait, or just this is how God made me.
Yeah.
Ooh, now we're getting to it. Words of question. Why would God allow this? Now, there are questions in Scripture, right? I don't believe Scripture tells us it's always wrong to ask God why. Habakkuk, we often reference him. He asks some questions, but it's when we question his care, we question his godness, his being in control. So, words of accusation. I serve God, and this is how he repays me. I've been following God, and this is what happens. As if, you know, there's never to be any trial in a believer's life. Anything else?
But like bartering. Like if you do this, then I...
Yeah, bartering with God. So you get the idea. We need to adjust our words to be excellent towards our God. And may the Holy Spirit, there's that prayer in the Psalms, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. I pray that prayer a lot for myself because I need him to filter my words, not just my words, my thoughts. And so may this be our resolve. What David was challenging the people to do, bless the Lord, say excellent things about him, is what we need to do, not just in worship on Sunday, and not just when we're around the people, it's easy to say those things around. We need to bless the Lord out there. And it's very important that we do that around other people. It's very important that we exalt the Lord, that we give him the praise for what he's done in our lives. So, his praise, but also his provision, he daily loads us. What they were to respond with, he daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. But this loading is an interesting word because it has the idea of loading, of putting a hard or a very burdensome yoke on. Now, that sounds negative, but remember, it's being qualified with benefits. So it's like God just heaps on the benefits upon us. And this is the only place this particular word is translated like this. It's just this constant, continual loading of benefits upon us. This loading of blessings. One author said, God's benefits are not few nor light. They are loads. They are neither are they intermittent, but they come daily, nor are they confined to one or two favorites, for all Israel can say, he loads us with benefits. He loads us down. The question I have for myself and us is, do we feel that on a daily basis? Do we feel that as we get up and go about our day? I have to confess, there are some days that I feel like I haven't been blessed, like he says. Now, maybe I'm the only one in the room, or maybe you feel that way too. And you have this little arguing Now, when you think through it, you can get to there and you say, okay, he has blessed me. But I'm talking about the feeling that going into our day where we wonder, okay, where is the hand of God? Where is the blessing of God? And what I believe that comes back to is it's not taking time to notice or to reflect, to meditate on the goodness of God. The Bible says in Psalm 103 in verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. And there's another command here, and forget not all his benefits. Why does he tell us to forget not all of his benefits? Because sometimes we do. That was one of the problems with the children of Israel, Psalm 78. They forgot the wonderful works of God in the past. And they would go into another generation and they would go all haywire because they forgot the wonderful works of God. They didn't pass them on to the next generation. And they really struggled because of this matter of forgetting. And we are told in Psalm 103 and 2 that we are not to forget his wonderful works. And so let's take a little bit of time here right now, tonight, to write down a list. What is some of the benefits that God has given to you today? The benefits that he's loaded. I'm asking you tonight, the end of this day, to think back over this day. And remember, what is it that God has loaded you with today? Now, 10 should scratch the surface if we really start meditating on the goodness and the grace and the mercy that God has put upon us. But I think 10 is something that would get our mind going. So write down there. I'm going to give us some time here. And then maybe we'll take some of those. But what are some of the benefits that God has loaded you with today? Not just physical benefits, spiritual benefits. I encourage you to write them down, and then we'll share some. This is a way of blessing the Lord. There's a space in your guide, in your handout for that if you need that. Give you another minute and then we'll share some. All right, let's share some of these benefits that God has put upon us today.
I've been reading my Bible at night. I used to do morning and night, but now it's at night. But the Bible, my instructions, and when I get to concentrate on the day that's gone by, my kind heart, lost friends to be able to pray for them, and the ability to give because of the money that the Lord blessed. easy to testify for the Lord. I like that. Our health, our church, our family, and our homes. You know, when you see smoke in the air or you hear sirens, we come home from church tonight, and our homes are still there. What a blessing.
Good benefits there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wrote that down too. I have breath, which without that there's nothing.
I wrote down, he gave me a good night's rest last night.
Amen. Those divine appointments can be really encouraging. Yes. When you see God working through you. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Something the world doesn't understand, and frankly, I don't think like we always understand. We just know it's divine. Mrs. Patterson was saying, boy, I feel the grace of God through the loss of her husband. What else?
Roof on a really rainy day.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
This morning I was reading my Bible just to enjoy the presence of the Lord, and I'm like, well, tell me where to go to witness. You know, you want to know where? And I'm like, can you just tell me exactly where to go? You know, and the verse came to me, and he says, go ye into the highways, and whoever you find, invite them to the wedding, to the marriage. And he always says, go into the home. But I wasn't specific. About 3 hours later, the church secretary here called me or texted me. And she said, do you know the address of this gentleman who came? And I said, I don't know. He just lives in an apartment building. And she said, I don't have the apartment number. But I said, if you have the building number, and she gave me the building number. And I said, I could go into that whole building and just ask everybody if they know where he, which one's his. And so that's my assignment.
There you go.
Tell me exactly the building number to go to.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Great.
They don't have a job. They're retired, but they still chat me off in love like I don't have a job. But I'm great, you know, I had a benefit of, like you said, on a wake up list today.
Yes.
And being able to be at a job at home in the comfort of my home and just, you know, my health today.
Amen. Praise God.
Yes.
Yes.
The peace in knowing that my husband and my children are healthy today.
Amen. Health is an amazing thing until you don't have it. See, it's very easy to overlook. I was just thinking just the ability to walk around, to take nourishment. Yep, take nourishment. One of the things I wrote down was the removal of the guilt of sin that has been forgiven. And praise God for that. I don't have to continue to bear that. That's something that's under the blood. And I'm thinking of salvation and how that it's settled. And there's a confident expectation in heaven. We aren't just looking forward to just doom ahead. We are looking forward to the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. So I hope that stirs your heart to consider. He says we're daily loaded with benefits. And when we stop and think about it, our problem is when we forget to stop. Our problem is when we don't consider that. And I face that in my own life as well. And the Lord help us with that. There was a man by the name of R.C. Chapman. He was a devout Christian. He was asked, because it appeared that he had a burden, but he said this. He says, "I'm burdened this morning." When he was asked how he was doing, "I'm burdened this morning." But his face was happy, his countenance was happy, and so there was a contradiction of words. And so the questioner asked him, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" And he goes, I am burdened, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings. I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude." And may the Lord help us to bless the Lord with all our hearts for all the benefits that are daily loaded upon us. They are, Scripture is very particular here, a heavy yoke, not to hurt us, but that's the amount that he's loading upon us. What a good God we serve. But notice his power. It's like, oh yeah, don't miss this, even the God of our salvation, right? Now think about this. What are we saved from? We're saved from death. That is an unparalleled affliction, a threat against mankind, right? No one escapes death. There are two things that are certain in life, help me, death and taxes, right? That's what we all say. But death it's a threat to us. It's something that is going to happen. It's very, very certain. And so we know that started in the garden. In the day you eat thereof, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. There's going to be a separation. You're going to surely die. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, so that all men, because all men have sinned. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, the Bible tells us that this death is an overwhelming enemy against us. It is something that we cannot fight against. It is something that is a reality. We all die because of sin. But then it says in verse number 54, death is swallowed up in victory. Well, how's that the case? Well, Jesus went to the cross. The Bible says there in verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Where is your sting? Where is your hurt? Where is your victory, grave? Well, how did God change that? How did that change? The Bible goes on to say the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. What really hurt us is this matter of sin. And the strength of sin is the law. We can't escape it. It's an unescapable reality, death is. Now, verse number 57, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He went and took the sting of death for us. He took the sting out of death. In reality today, the reason we don't have to mourn and weep as others mourn and weep at the sight of a death of a loved one who knows the Lord is because Jesus legitimately took the sting out of it. Yes, they're in the grave right now, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I just shared that verse with somebody today who told me about their spouse dying in the middle of the night, a friend's spouse dying in the middle of the night, and they're having a hard time, but this spouse knew the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's that glorious hope. Jesus took the sting out of death. He took that pain out of death, if you will, and that victory comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, think about it. He says, even the God of our salvation, the one who has saved us from death, that's the greatest benefit anyone could have. And if we have nothing else to praise the Lord for in a day, we can praise him for removing the sting of death, for saving us, rescuing us from the consequences of death for all of eternity. And it says here that even the God of our salvation, he's a source of our deliverance. He's a source of our salvation. Not a politician, not some technology, not an employer, not a pay raise, not a bank, not a retirement fund. He is the source of our salvation. He's the source of our deliverance from what we could not be delivered from, and that is death. And I love how the psalm ends, or this verse ends, Selah. Think about it. Think about it. Bless the Lord for all of his benefits. Don't forget salvation. Don't forget salvation from eternal death. Don't forget about that. Think on it. Pause. It's like a musician will pause and then continue on. Pause and think about that. Bless the Lord. There was a Scottish musician, songwriter, who was performing in concert in Chicago years ago. He died in 1950. His name was Harry Lauder. And he was well known in the world for his songs. But at the conclusion of his concert, the audience understandably stood up in mass and gave a standing ovation to him, and were, you know, shouting out, thank you, thank you, thank you for this wonderful musical concert. He showed humility as he replied and shouted back, don't thank me, thank the God who put the songs in my heart. Yeah. We need to do really well this week at doing that with people. You know, sometimes I hear, boy, your children are well behaved by someone who doesn't know the Lord. In that moment, I need to bless the Lord. It's all because of Jesus Christ. Or, hey, thank you for doing, praise the Lord. He's the reason. He's the giver. And how can we turn compliments or scenarios into blessing the Lord? Well, we need to be creative with that. But that's the idea here. Let's bless the Lord. Let's use excellent words towards him. Boy, that'll change our reality this week. We can get down about different things, but let's allow the Lord to help us to bless his name.
Faith is a victory.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.